The following is brought to you by the Shining Wizards Network, available on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboo, and at swn.shiningwizards.com.
The Shining Wizards Network proudly presents the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast with your hosts, the Impact Playa, Phil Rea, and Dave Mega Powers.
I think this is working. Yeah, it is. All right, welcome to a call time episode of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. It is, what day is it? It's the 28th of September, 2013. I am your host, the Impact Player, Mr. Phil Rea. I am solo tonight. Didn't need to reach out to Mega Powers. He's a young dude. He's probably out gallivanting with his Asian whores, or he's probably plotting something on Amazon, or he's probably writing some more material to pick on Lopez. But nonetheless, drinking my original sin, we're chilling at the Decadome live from Shaolin, New York City, and I opened the Skype line. So I put on the Facebook, you guys want to call in, shoot the shit, shoot the breeze, talk regular wrestling, throwback wrestling, whatever kind of wrestling you want to talk about, except for that college shit. I don't dislike collegiate wrestling, I just find it very boring, unless we're going for Olympic gold. Then I probably won't watch unless my kid's involved in it when he gets a little older. But nonetheless, here we are. It's a Saturday night. I get a rare night alone. The family is not here. I figured, why not open up the phone line, see if any new animals are around. So let's see. I got the Skype open. I'm not live, so I mean, I put it on the Facebook. So let's open up some wrestling news, shall we? You know what? Before I even get any further, if the calls don't come in, I did get a chance to start watching the Mid-South, Legends of the Mid-South DVD. Let me tell you something. I am so angry at myself. When I was a kid, I had some tapes that I had gotten through trading in the mid-90s, and I never got a chance to hold on to them, and I never got a chance to watch a lot of it, just read about it in the magazines. Of course, the Greg Klein book shed some really good insight on it. And, you know, there's a mystique to Mid-South. I know Greg Klein, you know, he talked about it in depth in his book, The Junkyard Dog book. And Shining Wizards Man had a point. If you were looking for a book about the Junkyard Dog, you were going to get disappointed. And Greg actually brought that up in his interview with us. He said that a lot of people gave him crap because they thought they had the pre-notion that it was about the Junkyard Dog, and it actually wasn't. It was more about the Mid-South. But there really isn't a big story behind the Junkyard Dog. I mean, he went back to the roots of the Junkyard Dog. You know, I'm not too big into, you know, shitting on guys like that, even if the book was bad. But, you know, Greg and I had a lot in common because we're close in age. I don't want to use those two words that everybody hates now, apparently. But, you know, to be perfectly honest with you, you know, he does shed some light on the Junkyard Dog. He does talk about his life and how he progressed in Mid-South. And they talked about it on the DVD. There really wasn't much to talk about. He wasn't a great wrestler. He had fantastic charisma. And everybody who was in the DVD, Dusty Rhodes, Michael Hayes, Bill Watts, everybody who was interviewed, Jim Ross, everybody who was interviewed in the DVD, Ted DiBiase, Jim Duggan, Terry Taylor, they all knew the mystique in Louisiana, in the Mid-South region that was the JYD. So, you know, I thought it was fantastic. You know, the music thing kills me. We talked about that on the last episode of WrestleMania. And to be perfectly honest with you. It's, you know, sadly, his life was cut short, and I'm sure if he was still around, he could shed some light on, you know, what, you know, how it went down and his career. And, you know, I know the knock is, hold on 1 second. Hold on. Tony Z is Facebooking me. So, I'm solo. Some limey. See, Mega Powers is a shit starter, man. Dudes get mad. Dave is the heel of the show, apparently. You know. But, you know, again, getting back to Junkyard Dog. I'm kind of pissed off he's not around, because I'd like to hear his insight. I mean, the mystique. And then, you know, when I read, you know, I'm glad I read the book before I watched the DVD. That's what I'm saying, because you saw the crowd. Even with the overdubbed music and all the other shit, you knew it was that kind of party, you know? And I'm so mad that they don't book like that no more. I really am. I'm really pissed off that they don't, you know, that they don't do shit like that anymore. So Tony Z is like, it's saying that, hold on, what's going on here? Let's take a quick break and let me fix this Skype up and we'll be right back. All right, we're back. I'm just fucking messing with this nonsense. I'm drinking. I'm all alone. The cat's looking at me like I'm got three heads. Anyway, I fixed the Skype issue, I think. But getting back to Jake. Well, he was on the DVD too, Jake Roberts. But, you know, it was fun. It was really fun reading the book and then watching this DVD. I had one of my favorite DVDs, actually. I would suggest, if you're an old school wrestling fan, even if you're not, go get it. It's a fine DVD. I mean, again, WWE's not going to play the music because all the music was copyrighted back then. It sucks, but what are you going to do? And, you know. Anyway, this is not a regular show. I'm just bullshitting because I'm bored and I want to play with my new mixer. I got microphones coming. Big show coming this weekend at Legends of the Ring out in Monroe, New Jersey. Myself with the Wizard. It's going to be a grand old time. Lots of legends. The tables will be set up. The banners will be out. The network will be representing in full effect. I'm hearing big things about the last PWS show. I'm kind of pissed I missed that. But again, you know, work and family come first. And I'm sure, I won't miss a lot of the other shows if time allows me, but they're putting on a good product. I'm glad the Midnight Jury had a good time. I just listened to their last show, and it was fantastic. Episode 10 was in effect. Monster Squad is one of my wife's favorite movies. I'm sure to pass on that knowledge to her. She's going to love that. You know, the network is getting really... It's getting some notoriety. And you know what? Let's see what's going on here. People are trying to call in. Why is it not? Let's take this. Where's my Skype here? Okay, hold on. Why am I not? I'm getting like calls and they're hanging up on me. I don't even know. Okay. I'll cut that off. Tony Z from the Wizards was trying to call in. The other OG of this shit. And, didn't work out that way. Hopefully we'll get him in a second. But yeah, man, go get the DVD. Seriously. And check out... Hold on a second. I'm like a mess over here, man. I'm gonna put the fan on. Getting all discombobulated and shit. Oh, there it is. Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
It was a blast. Like, I don't, you know, it wasn't anything where, like, you know, you go to a dojo and, like, you're constantly doing weight training and shit like that. But it was fun, man. Just being in the ring and fucking around and everybody was friends with everybody. It was a good time. And a lot came out of doing that. So, you know, a year of my life. I'm glad that I took that opportunity. Of course, I fucking decided to try to do something better, wound up in law school, and, well, you know, fucking here I am. I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing or a bad thing, but there you go.
I think at this point, and because we're the same age, I think it comes to that point where it's we start doing that coulda, shoulda, woulda shit.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You're dealing with that too, right? I should have went to medic school. I should have went to fucking. I should have finished college. I should have went to fucking wrestling school. I've done all that, you know.
No, but, I hear you, man. Like even going to PWS, it would have been like, you know what? It would have been kind of neat to have jumped in that battle royal and fucked around with the guys for about 5 or 10 minutes, you know, just to get that old feeling back. Like when I saw Jamie Silva in there, I was feeling the world for him, man, because I know how much he likes to work, and he was having a good old time in there, you know.
Yeah, good for them, you know. And I like when you guys have all those the PWS original guys on, because the way they talk about the school and the structure and how they're all like family and how they get along and how, you know, they're on the grind and, you know, as I'm listening to you guys the last couple of months, like the progression of it gets better. And then I hear the shit from last weekend and it's been over the top. So, you know, I like that there's schools now, reputable schools. The wrestling schools are a dime a dozen. Back in the day, you had to look for them. You know, you couldn't, they weren't in every town like they are now. But the reputable ones, I'm glad you guys are a part of that. But I actually say we, because as a network, we're a part of that, you know? That's cool, though, that they have all that stuff now for them.
Yeah, man, I got to tell you, Tuesday's show was just a fucking blast. We had Drew Gulak on the show, who we hadn't had in a while. He's your Combat Zone Wrestling World Champion right now, too, by the way.
Yep.
And, you know, all the new champions from PWS. We had Bonesaw back on. We talked to Craven Varro, who's a fucking awesome dude. And God bless him, Joey Janela, giving us our fucking topic of the evening. Actually, Matt bringing up fucking Drew Gulak's cock actually disturbed me more than anything that came out of Joey Janela's mouth. Joey was just on a fucking roll. He was genius.
Yeah, a lot of dick talk the other night.
Yeah, you know, they say that wrestling has some homosexual undertones, and there were none shining brighter than Tuesday night here with Matt back in the studio with me and Kevin. It was a sight to behold.
It's good to have the crew back.
Hey, speaking of crews, did you hear next week we got Sonny, a.k.a. Tammy Sitch, on the show?
Dude, if my car gets back to me in time, I would love to be in studio for that. Not because I don't want to talk to Sonny. I want to hear all the fucking tomfoolery that's going to go on.
Well, I could tell you this much. I was dicking around with Skype before, and it looks like we are going to be able to take some live calls. So hopefully that's still the case. But and you know what, man? She's cool. She seems game for anything, and she seems like she's willing to talk about anything. So, you know, I'm sure for every serious call we get, we're going to get an asshole call. But you know what, man? It's all good. We got a friend of mine that calls up and calls Matt's family retarded.
Yeah.
And we got the mad fart bomber that calls occasionally and just farts into the phone. So, you know, we've seen it. We've seen a lot already.
I just heard Sonny's stuff on Cabana about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I haven't checked that out. Was it any good?
It's pretty interesting. She's pretty forward. Like, I apparently she loved being in jail. She got away with some stuff because of who she was. Like, some of the CEOs had the hots for her in the 90s, so they let her, you know, she had to be in, like, in some certain type of clothing. Cause, you know, you're in general population, you have to be in certain kind of clothing. She didn't get to do that. She got some perks, you know, like, she talked about, like, how fun it was, but it wasn't fun. Like, you know, almost like bragging about it. And that kind of took me back for a bit, because she doesn't seem like the kind of girl that would enjoy being in jail after what she's been doing.
No, I hear you, man, but it's funny. Like, you see people on TV, and you get to know them based on that one persona, and then when you hear, like, all their other personal shit, like, you get to know a lot of these people just through Facebook or Twitter now. And, like, Matt got all annoyed a few weeks ago because he reached out to Dustin Rhodes to try to get him on the show, and Dustin was just like, you know, sorry, I don't do podcasts, and, you know, fucking Matt flies off the handle about everything. So, speaking of which, do you have any topic for a tournament that we could do tonight so we could piss everybody off?
You know, I didn't think of one.
Fucking cocksuckers. I got one here. How about we come up with 8 different names for Vienna sausages? I got one. Sausage Fingers Raya.
Yeah,
you got another one? How about... fucking assholes. And I got to deal with him every fucking week, dude. He gets so pissed off. It's hilarious, but it's annoying.
I got to share a hotel room with this ass clown.
Oh, you guys are going to have fun. Hey, I don't know if Sunny's coming in the night before, but if she's around, dude, spooning pictures would definitely be on the list of things to do.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm telling you, if you guys are keeping the room till noon, We might be able to make her an offer just to, like, you know, bring a couple of gentlemen callers up there and get some pictures and make her some money.
That's all on you guys.
Well, that's all on Matt. Let him handle that.
That's all on you guys.
Yeah, man, it's going to be a lot of fun. I've actually started putting shit together for that, gathering up all the equipment, making sure we got all our fucking ducks in a row. And yeah, it's going to be good times next week. It's going to be real good times.
I'm going to bring the board. I got two more mics coming to me. They should be here by Monday. So, I mean, if you guys need anything, just let me know.
If you want to bring your board as a backup, I've got the Monster KO Durf board. If you don't know what KO Durf is, that's the band that Eddie was involved with, as well as Pat, who we've had on the show a bunch of times. Since they haven't been doing anything for the past, let's just say a year, Matt actually brought me the board last week, and I bought an adapter to get it hooked up. And I don't know much about tweaking the levels, but everything works and everything, dude. You could tell this board is professional. It weighs about fucking 3,000 pounds. I had to bring an extra table into the studio here to hold the thing up. But it fucking sounds fantastic.
I bought this board because of stuff like this. I can hook up multiple mics. Now I'm going to have the room. I'm going to jack that up. But you know what? I figured with things like this, I have a digital board. It goes right into the USB. And I was going to buy the one with the knobs, but I like the ones with the sliders. Because when I was doing the man cave, the old man had the slider thing going on. So I need to have that. $80 on it.
That ain't bad. I mean, this thing's got sliders, knobs, EQs.
That's
like
what
I don't know.
Yeah.
Fucking like the FX, the FX knobs and shit. It's got so many outputs, inputs. It's a beast, but you know what? As long as it fucking works, who cares? We sound good. It's all good. You know, we have a good time. Hey, speaking of good times, you know, Joel Gertner's going to be with us at our table probably right away in the morning, like 9 o'clock.
See, I'm waiting for that. And I'm going to mark out and bring my my kids' encyclopedia, and hopefully some of these guys will sign it for me.
Nice.
You know, just like a keepsake, because, you know, now he recognizes everybody. So, yeah, like, I want to talk to Joel Gertner, man. He sounds like a cool dude, man. That should be fun.
Yeah, so we'll let him come in. He'll do his gimmick in for a while and whatnot, and then, you know, we'll get a few words for him. We've had him on the show before, too. It'd be nice to get him back on for a few words. Hey, did you hear Mike Mondo's going to be there, too?
Yes, Mike Mondo will be there as well.
Mike Mondo will be there with Jim Cornette. I guess, I don't know, is Jim Cornette still with Ring of Honor?
I don't think he is. I still didn't get to see the last card. I want to see the last couple of matches of that title tournament. I heard it was really good.
Yeah, Adam Cole, huh?
Yeah, Adam Cole's the champ.
Another guest of the show. Jesus Christ. You know, Matt wasn't kidding. He fucking, I guess he knew exactly how to pick him over the past 2 years.
Absolutely. Well, he's been on the grind, though. He's worse than me with DVDs. So he's been on the grind with that shit. Now, isn't Adam Cole the PWG champion as well?
I think so. My PWG knowledge is not that great, but I believe so.
Whatever. I mean, you guys had some great guests on the last year and a half, even, you know. It's been fucking nonstop since before Mania, you know.
I'm sure you saw the picture. I got my picture with Marcus Alexander, a.k.a. Buff Bagwell.
Yeah, I just heard the Midnight Jury's show on the way into the city this morning. I had to make a quick run, and they played all their little interviews and stuff. That was pretty. And then I saw all the pictures of you guys. That was he didn't remember shit, and I kind of figured that, too.
Well, you know what, dude? Like, I'll be honest with you. When I talked to him, like, my intention was not to go there and start shit. Like, Matt was all full of, you know, piss and vinegar going, you know, you should have called him out. Like, well, what's the point? And then it's like, besides, I didn't see you going running over there, but I'm shitting on Matt too much. Matt's a good guy. I love Matt.
He's a great guy.
But anyway, so I go over to Buff and I ask him, like, yeah, you remember you did our show? He's like, I don't remember, you know. Fine, whatever. That's understandable. And I talk to him, and of course, I slyly try to open the door. I go, so when are you getting back on TV, bro? When's WWE coming up? When's TNA coming up? And you know what he fucking said to me, and I felt really bad, dude, like, despite everything that happened? He's like, I don't know, man. I don't have any friends anywhere. I got no friends in TNA. I got no friends in WWE. So, like, for a minute there, like, my heart kind of fell for this guy, because it's like, you know what? Maybe he was just trying to get his name out there, and it fucking all fell flat.
I don't know. I disagree. Honesty is the best policy.
Wait. You disagree with me? Holy shit. Dave on the phone.
On the phone. No, you know what, dude? Honestly, it's, for me, you know, even if you don't remember who you're talking to, remember what you say, because everything's documented now. It's like, we have this problem at work.
I hear you.
You know, like, I have this problem at work where people call you, like, well, I'm going to talk to so-and-so. I'm like, well, pull tape, man. I know who you spoke to. You know, don't blow smoke up my ass and tell me it's a freaking chimney, you know? But, you know, it's that kind of party, you know? And somebody has to be listening. He's not, but somebody listened because your interview was picked up by every single major wrestling internet outlet that was out there.
Sure did.
You know what I mean? When you Google your stuff now, if I type in Shining Wizards on Google, it's all going to come up with that stuff. And, you know, for me, and then when he called in on Man Cave, I'm like, I knew I had to ask him. I had to, because it was like, it was just necessary. And then I knew he got caught out there. But you know what? You can't hold, like, I'm not going to hold it against him, like, you know, like, apparently, what, like, Matt wanted to. But you want to come back. Or you want to make some kind of an impact somewhere. You know, you might want to cover your tracks. Or...
And, dude, like, to me, I'd have him on the show every fucking week if he wants to, because that's how I am, dude. I don't care. I love talking to the guy. Actually, I didn't talk to the guy, but, you know, when I talk to him, you know, I mean on the show, but when I talk to him in person, man, like, just seemed like an okay guy. But that's the problem with social media and the amount of exposure there is out there nowadays. You know, like a lot of these guys weren't really getting as many interviews as they are right now, even like 5 or 6 years ago, because there's just so many shows out there and so many people that want to talk to these guys. And you're right, you should be accountable. But let's be honest, if Buff's doing a fucking podcast a week, sometimes, you know, even if you have the most honest of intentions, it's hard to keep your shit straight.
Yeah, that's some validity to that. But, you know, it just goes to show my point, and I brought this out to you guys even last year, how the internet is ruining wrestling.
Yeah, that's a big yes. I actually ran into my brother with one of his friends today, and he's like, you know, of course, like, yeah, the wrestling's all planned, right? And I was like, oh shit, here we go again. But
that old gag.
Yeah, but you know, he's like, don't you know everything? I'm like, well, if they really want to keep shit quiet and they work at it, they can. I said, but it's really hard to do that these days. It's near impossible to do that. Because even if somebody shows up at the airport, you know, within an hour from wherever they're doing a show that night, people know about it within 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not even like, oh, such and such just happened to be hanging out at the airport to say hi to people. It could be that somebody from WWE is in the limo going like, holy shit, we just picked up X, Y, and Z, you know, to be on Raw tonight.
Right.
There's just no secrecy anymore. There's no kayfabe, if you will.
I'm glad you're on, because I want to bring up something and I'm glad we're talking about this. And, you know, you've had all the PWS brass on. You've had Eric on. You've had Pat on. You've had Kevin in studio. And, you know, when Kevin put that information out there with Bill DeMott on Twitter, and it started picking up steam, and it started getting some notoriety, and again, our internet outlets were picking it, media outlets were picking this up, you know, and then it just died. Now, I'm not saying none of that stuff was true, because even Pat validated it. They had guys that were in the business that validated all the shit that was going on in developmental. My question, though, is, does that take away more from the business in terms of not even the insider shit, like the fan aspect of it? With the internet exposing every single piece of it. Like, when we were kids, we waited for stuff. Or you read the back of the newspaper. Or you got pseudo dirt sheets. Or you waited 3 months later for something to come out, like in PWI or The Wrestler or, you know, Inside Wrestling. But, you know, do you think it takes away from the more of the mystique that it is now?
Well, of course it takes away. I just want to know that I know you brought up newspapers. Jesus, I even fucking talk like Matt now. You remember the Slammer, don't you?
In of the back course. Of the Daily that's, News? That's what I was referring
fucking,
to.
And Blackjack Brown, you'd have to call into the hotline.
Number. Yeah, yep. Of course.
God, shit. I remember, I hate to bring this up because I know people fucking love when I talk about Bruno Sammartino, but he was involved in one of those 900 numbers too. You could challenge him to a trivia contest. I'm sure you remember that shit.
Of course I do. Of
oh,
course.
God. Captain Lou had his own line. Fucking who was it? Bert Sugar, wasn't he involved with something?
Bert
with
Sugar
Captain
did
Lou?
Something with Captain Lou, and then yeah. he had the Bruno Sammartino hotline, and then WCW picked up on it.
Yeah, and do yourself a favor, if you're listening to this and you ever come across the fucking what is it, Wrestling for Dummies that Bert Sugar and Captain Lou put out,
yeah,
by all means stay the fuck away from that book. If you find it in a store, you should shoplift it, bring it to the parking lot, and light it on fire. That could be the worst fucking wrestling book ever. I actually leafed through like 3 pages of it, and I wanted to shit on the book and fucking make like press pictures with it. That's how bad that book was.
Speaking of books, I have to bring you the not take away from what we're talking about, but I got to bring you the JYD book, so I got to pack that on Thursday.
Oh, by the way, real quick, at the PWS show, I picked up the brand new Dynamite Kid documentary, which I have not watched yet, but I eagerly anticipate popping that in. I don't want to watch that in front of the wife and the kid because I know it's just going to be a fucking disaster of language and all the kinds of shit.
It's a great documentary, man. I bought it at the PWS Super Show.
Yeah, you know, like, and he starts talking about fucking putting a gun to his wife's head, and there we go. Hilarity's going to ensue in my house. I can guarantee you that. But anyway, getting back to your question, you know what? Shit like that with Bill DeMott, you know, I wasn't there. If it's true, I don't think Kevin Matthews would be making a big deal out of it if it wasn't true. That's what I got to say about that. But shit like that needs to come out, and it needs to be known. Look, I don't know if you listened to that. I mentioned it again, the Nick Maddox interview that he did with the Fallen Angels. And he started talking about, you know, how Bill DeMott is just stretching the boys and guys are crying wah-wah that they can't take it. And I don't know. I mean, I agree, yes. If you're getting stretched by who's training you, that's completely understandable. That's part of the business. Shit, I got stretched when I was coming through wrestling school. I actually got kicked in the face because I put my fucking head down, which was kind of like not my fault, but yeah, my fault because I shouldn't have done that. And I had my nose broken while we were training in that shitty boxing ring, I might add.
Right.
But I digress. How do you like them apples, Matt? Fucking cock smoker. Phil, yeah, we're kindred spirits. Can you deal with that?
No, I don't think they can, man. But, fucking, you know, it's funny because, again, I'm not taking nothing away from what Kevin was saying, what Pat was saying, and then more recently what Nick was saying, because that kind of made me start thinking about shit, you know, when Nick was talking about it with the Angels. Again, I'm thinking like long term. I'm one of those guys that freak out when the rent's not, if the rent can't get paid, what am I gonna do? And it brings you back to like, what if this PWS thing didn't pan out and now Kevin and Pat are like these? I mean, they'll have to get regular jobs, obviously. They probably do have regular jobs, but
yeah. And I'll tell you right now, Pat's admitted on his show he's bitter.
Yeah.
You know what? When he was talking about it, he made sense. A lot of these guys that get there and don't make it, not because of their merits and not because of what they can do, but because of some fuck-up somewhere else, like causing a problem for them, yeah, that's kind of fucked up. Now, look, you got to play politics. You got to know who you're dealing with. You got to know who you can talk to and whatnot. And I'm sure, I don't know if you've ever heard Kevin talking about his dealings with Matt Stryker, but, you know, I mean, that's just a sampling of the kind of shit that goes on. But you know what? To be abused, like, you have to fucking, like, have somebody, like, put your ass on their face and shit like that for, like, half an hour. Like just the shit that they were talking, like, that Kevin [S2] Right. [S1] Was talking about. Just, it goes way beyond your typical, like, stretching guys to see if they belong there. That's just fucking abuse. And they don't deal with it at fraternities anymore. They don't deal with that shit at sororities anymore. And they shouldn't fucking deal with it in wrestling or anywhere else. Yeah. And it has nothing to do with, like, you know, like being tested and being like, you know, finding out how strong you are. It just goes to fucking decency as from one human being to another.
Yeah, when you read about when you read the old wrestlers' biographies, they talk about shit like that, about guys getting beat up in the ring. Dusty admitted it. Dusty told guys that he beat up guys in the ring just for fun because they were new and they wanted to break them in. Flair talked about it. A lot of guys talked about it. A lot of it was not talked about because of politics back in the day, but it's a different time now. You know, yeah. But I still think it takes away from the big mystique. And when I mean the big mystique, I'm talking about when you and I were kids and, you know, you waited for shit to happen. Before we caught on with common sense and started calling stuff that was going to happen, that's what made us better wrestling fans anyway. And I hate using that word, Mark. I use it a lot, too. I hate it. I hate it because, you know, I invested a third of my life into this shit, and I still do. And I think it's my right as a fan, maybe because I didn't get in the ring, that doesn't, you know, guys, well, you didn't get in the ring, you didn't do this, you didn't do that. I don't give a shit. I'm a fan. I pay for this stuff. I buy the DVDs. I buy the fucking pay-per-views. I buy the merch. I have a kid now. He gets the merch. You see what I'm saying?
So but, like, no, you're exactly right. If you're spending money on the product and you buy a ticket, I don't care what anybody says. You have a right to fucking be heard. You have a right to make your opinion, good or bad. And you know what? Like, fuck it. Like, Mark, to me, is a fan. That's somebody that's going to go out and spend the money on the shirts and spend the money on the DVDs. And I just get annoyed that it's gotten such a negative connotation because there are assholes out there who sit around and do nothing but bitch and moan and complain. Look, Eddie is a fucking prime example. Eddie bitched, moaned, complained about everything for fucking months at a time. Every once in a while when he found something great, he found 20 other things to bitch about. Eddie goes out and buys tickets for shows. Eddie came to WrestleMania. Eddie buys t-shirts from the fucking t-shirt websites.
Eddie
he buys DVDs. He does a podcast. Jesus, he's got a fucking job doing video production for Pro Wrestling Syndicate. The guy puts his time, his money, his effort into the business. If he wants to complain about something and he's got a valid reason to complain, he's got every fucking right to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the thing. And a lot of the internet stuff that you read on, you know, that you read, a lot of these guys aren't even from the States. They're from overseas, and they have a different perspective, too. Because they got, you know, their side of it is our stuff only came to them a couple of times a year. And then they saw stuff on television. And then their indie circuit, you know, picked up steam in the 90s like everybody else, where everybody else in the world did. Because it was the thing to do. And then all of a sudden, you know, the internet. Now everything's on the internet. Everything you do, everything you say, you know, it's a part of our lifestyle. You know, and I think it just, again, it goes back to that mystique again, you know?
Yeah, but I got to tell you, though, and you've talked about it a bunch of times, too. When the internet hit and video streaming and sites like YouTube became more available, and even social media sites like Facebook and Twitter, it's not even so much that shit becomes readily available at this point, but shit around the world becomes readily available.
Right.
You can go on YouTube and pull shit up from New Japan and all the other groups. Is Pro Wrestling Noah still even running? I think they are.
The Glory Days guys on Facebook, I'll give them a cheap, quick plug, because I know Norenganga was talking about them, you know, the other day. Those guys posted something about the Tokyo Dome and all the statistics.
You know what? I came across that earlier today, actually. Good that you brought that up.
And, you know, now they're starting to, they're, you know, with the internet the way it was, they're now starting to put pay-per-view, well, iPay-per-view, like through Ustream on the internet.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, back in the 90s, man, are you kidding me? I was scheming for strong style shit. I was tape trading like an animal trying to get Kawada and Kobashi shit and Vegas stuff and Bigelow and all my heroes were there. Doc and Gordy were there.
You've seen the Kawada stuff with Misawa, right?
Of course, I had everything.
Fucking legendary stuff,
yeah,
man.
And honestly, that's where Dave fit in really well with me, because Dave was like all about it when we first started chatting online. And you know, it's ready for you. Listen, I pulled up half my shows with Dave were discussions about a YouTube clip that we pulled up. You know, before I even got to even break out my videotapes that I still have some of them. Like, you know what I'm saying? So like, I understand. I just, for me, and I didn't walk away from it. A lot of guys that we talk to, a lot of guys that do podcasting, walked away from wrestling, dude. I never did. I constantly watched it. No matter what part of my life I was in, I always made time for it.
Yeah, you know? I wish I could say that for a little while in the 90s, but there was a point in time where I kind of fell out. And to be honest with you, I don't even remember how closely I followed it. Like, there's times now where like I try to read up on stuff, but I just can't watch it. But during that point, man, like I just fucking gave up on a lot of it because it just didn't really catch my interest anymore, you know?
Yeah.
It was too many gimmicks and it was too many gimmicks without characters.
Yeah, you're not the only one that feels that. A lot of guys. Listen, a couple of your co-hosts did the same thing. They walked away from it. They got back into it. For some reason, as bad as it was, I never stopped. And I always relied on the old shit. I always had a tape laying around, or I always picked up a magazine from way back or whatever. And it just brought me back to a better time. And that's a personal thing with me. It's like a crutch almost, you know, because it was one of the only things in my childhood that made sense to me. You know, that was fun.
Yeah, and I remember a lot of times I would watch with my brother Dan. We're only 2 years apart, and you know, all the wrestling shit that I was going through as a kid, you know, we would watch it together. We'd get the pay-per-views and sit and watch them. My cousin Dennis, who he's called into the show a few times already.
Yeah.
You know, he would come over and we would make it like one of our things. You know, Survivor Series was on Thanksgiving, so all our families would get together at my parents' house. And we'd have our food, we'd watch a little football, whatever. But then the fucking pay-per-view came on, and that was it. My cousin would fucking, he'd have a bag packed, and he'd stay over that night and watch the pay-per-view with us. And it would be me, my brothers, and my cousin, the four of us, and my old man. And we'd sit there and watch the pay-per-view. And, of course, the whole time, my old man would fight, you know this shit's fake, right? And it's like, and?
Yeah. I got some breaking news here. We'll talk about PWS. Bombshells number 7 is now in the books. They had some iPay-per-view issues. Their video crew simply never showed up, which is why they were on a half-hour delay.
Oh, my God.
It wasn't High Spots' fault, apparently. On their end, they're going to make the best of it. And, you know, I talked about iPay-per-view a couple of shows ago. I talked about it with you and Eddie, too. You know, if that ever catches on, like, legit, like, because now you can stream stuff through your television, through your gaming systems, through your cable boxes. Once that picks up steam, you know, it's going to be a problem. And I don't mean a problem for us. I mean a problem for, you know, the retail guy, like the $65 Vince McMahon guys. He's still going to get his pay-per-view sales, but I think it's going to be more of a competition thing, man. It's like, you know, why are you going to pay $65 for something that you may not enjoy when you could buy a PWS show for $25, $30, you know?
Yeah, but you know what, man? They say that about the independent scene directly, like buying tickets for independent shows versus buying tickets for WWE. And, you know, no matter, you know, even if they only get like 4,000 or 5,000 people for a house show at the Meadowlands, they're still getting 4,000 or 5,000 people for a house show at the Meadowlands. You know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right.
And it's the brand recognition that's always going to be there for them no matter what they do.
Yeah, I guess that's right. That's true. But it's funny because my buddy is at an FTW show tonight at the Elks Lodge in Queens. And he said there's 40 people there. You're lucky.
Wow, really?
Now here's an organization not a year ago was having iPay-per-views in Brooklyn and in Long Island and shit like that, and they were drawing a little bit of a number, and they couldn't. Now they're drawing 40 people in the Elks Lodge, which was infamous for ECW and Jack Sabbath's ICW promotion and Frank Goodman's USA Pro back in the day. A lot of prominent indie promotions went through that venue, you know.
Are you friends with Frank Goodman on Facebook?
I was, and I'm not. And I'm
you
not,
got rid of him?
I'm not. Yeah, there's a reason. And I don't care. I'll say it. I have no problem with Frank. I gave Frank a lot of money in high school. I'm not even going to lie about it. His shows were fantastic. They were. And plus, he was friends with all the guys I loved. He was friends with Bam Bam. I loved Bam Bam. I'm such a mark for Bam Bam Bigelow. He was one of my favorites. Candido was one of my favorites too. You know, but Frank was friends with another guy that does an internet show, this guy, Don Tony. I'm sure you heard of Don Tony and Kevin
Don Castle. Tony, Kevin, of course.
Okay. Now, I'm not friends with Anthony personally. Anthony actually grew up two neighborhoods away from me, and we're a couple of years apart. He's a cool dude. I used to listen to his hotline back in the day. He had a hotline. That's where my friend Kevin, who I'm friends with personally, his co-host, Kevin's a prominent club promoter here in New York. And he promoted my shitty band for like 2-3 years straight. He used to book all my shows. How I got connected with Kevin was booking my shows on a Monday night. He called my house. What are you doing? Oh, I'm watching wrestling. What are you doing? And that's how we started booking shows, because that was my connection with the band and then with him. So when he got on with Don Tony, Don Tony was doing stuff with Frank Goodman back in the day. They were promoting shows together and shit like that, or he was working for, I don't know how it worked, but, you know, he treated Anthony like shit. And some of the stuff he says, like, he's a fucking racist fuck, he's a nutbag. And I can't deal with that. Like, you want to joke around and say racist shit, or, like, you know, like, what we used to call Matt racist all the time, but that's just joking around. Matt's not a fucking racist, you know? This guy, he's too political, like, you know, he's, I don't know. I can't fuck with his rants, you know. I can't fuck with his rants, you know. But he's a nice guy. Never gave me a hard time. You know, I listened to his show once in a while, and that's another thing. Anthony was doing his show. Anthony was recording him and stuff like that. And then what had happened was it stopped. there was a big beef, and there was podcast wars with like them and like Wrestling Soup and some other guys. I'm like, this is crazy. I'm too old for this shit, man. I just want the if I get I don't care. Listen, is it nice to have an audience? Absolutely. Is it nice to have notoriety? Of course it is. I wasn't doing it for notoriety. I was doing it because I had the time and I was making friends. I mean, I'm so fucking far removed from beating people up and getting involved. I'm an old man now in terms of that stuff. I can't.
If you have to beat somebody up over a podcast, like, you need to reevaluate your life.
But these guys, like, there's a couple of shows, and listen, I love Anthony and Kevin. They do a fantastic job. The Wrestling Soup guys are awesome. But there's, like, this beef with the Lex Express guys. Well, there was. I don't know if there still is now. But, like, there's a whole bunch of things going on, like, internally. Like personal stuff. Like, people will talk about their personal lives. Like, oh, I saw so-and-so's wife, and she's fat.
You see, that's one thing that I try to keep out of the shows. Like, I don't... Like, when I was listening to Dave talking about Lopez's fucking 35 kids... I was like, oh, please don't go there. Please don't go there. But Dave kept it at, like, you know, it was funny, goofy, not, like, you know, like, anything about him personally, if you get my drift.
Yeah, people were starting, like, Facebook pages about, like, they were taking, like, somebody's wife or kid, and they were like...
Yeah, that's fucked up.
You can't, and, like, they were putting Goodman stuff out there, too, because Goodman, listen, again, I don't have a problem with these guys, you know, I just want to do my show and, you know, whatever. But there was, like, a big beef going on.
That's the kind of shit you get in trouble for, though.
That's the thing, man.
Fucking Dave says Lopez has 35 kids, and they're all trying to build him technology so he can get a podcast going. He's not sitting there giving out his kids' names and talking about his wife or making fun of anything like that.
People,
you know,
people
there's a big difference.
Yeah, people were starting, like, Facebook pages.
That's fucked up. That is so fucked up. Dude, all right, I'm going to say something right now because I got a little bit of clout because we got some notoriety from Buff Bagwell. Thank you again, Buff.
Yeah.
Fucking knock it off, dude. You're grown fucking people. Do your show. Do it well. Your fans will be there. And shut the fuck up and talk about wrestling. That's what we like to do at the Shining Wizards Network.
It's wrestling talk. And
of course.
And talk about wrestling.
Talk about wrestling.
Yeah. And you know what? If you can reach a couple of people, like the Justins of the world and the Knicks and the Lopez's and the Andrew Ottos of the world, and you got your Tim Grimes's and you got all those guys, if you can reach all those dudes, that's fantastic. I don't care if five people listen. If five people listen and like it, I don't give a shit. You know, I really don't. I'm not about looking to, you know, get, you know, listen, I got, when Will and Chris now are doing their football thing and, you know, big things are happening for them, I encourage that. I put them two together. Why? Because they were, I don't want to say, I hate using the word kindred spirits, but they were.
Go ahead.
When it came to football, you know, and... You make friends through... That's the only good thing about this shit. You network. You talk to people, man. That's how you do it. That's how I met you clowns. It's how it is.
And that's how you wound up with Mr. Mega Powers now.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, as obnoxious as he's been lately, he's spot on. And
he's sick. He's got the yellow fever.
He respects the old school, man. That's why I love talking about old school wrestling. It's fantastic.
I can't wait to see if he's going to call in on Tuesday. Like, he is just so out of his mind that we're having Sonny on the show.
Yeah, I know.
And not in a good way, I might add.
Man, he's bitter about that.
Oh, my God. He's such an angry man. I'm going to start calling him Matt. Jeez, Dave, fucking go whack your bag, release some of that fucking tension, and you'll be all right, brother. Take it easy.
Yeah, you know, he asked me to get him a body bag for a video shoot he's doing. Right. No joke. I gotta, and you know me, I went to my job and
he's lying. He's reenacting the Ultimate Warrior fucking skits with the Undertaker.
Yeah. So, you know, now I, you know, what I do for a living, right? Now my hospital is the biggest in New York. It's number five in the country and we do everything big. So we have this special operations hazmat division team that we're on. That if the disaster happens in the city next to the fire department, we are the next unit to respond in. We have that kind of clout. We have all these campuses, whatever. P.S. I am one of my dearest friends in EMS is one of the special ops leaders. He's like he's one of the main guys. When I asked him for a body bag, he froze. He goes, "What do you need a fucking body bag for?" And I automatically, he thought I really, like, I legit needed one. I'm like, no, 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 no. I said, my boy needs it for a video he's filming. They didn't give me just one of the mill ones. He gave me, like, a real deal one that you see on, like, CSI and shit like that, you know? So I told Dave, I said, should I be giving you this fucking body bag when you come to the house the next time? Because I'm getting a little worried about you now, you know?
Well, if you start reading about Asian women disappearing, you know whose door to knock on.
Yeah, well, that's what he's probably doing now. He's probably fucking lining them up tonight.
Jesus, and he could probably put, like, 6 or 7 of them in a bag. They're not too big.
Christ, he's not a big person either, so he probably gets in a bag with them, that freak.
Fuck. Dave's swimming around 6 dead Asian women going, I'm alive.
No sake bombs for him next week.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm looking forward to seeing all you guys next week.
Yeah, it's going to be a blast. I'm excited. You know, I had to cancel between everybody now. My wife double booked me. And you and I booked this one, like, back in May or whatever it was.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, so my wife's like, oh, I got this weekend plan. We're going to upstate, and I got the bed and breakfast. I'm like, no, we're not.
A bed and breakfast she planned?
Yeah, dude, she was all about it. I'm like, no, we're not. I'm going going to Legends of the Ring.
I guess the dildo selling business is doing well.
Oh, that's Will's wife, not my wife.
Oh, I thought it was your wife selling.
No. Will's wife sells the dildos. But no, it was, So, dude, I'm like, I'm still going up there. I'm going up there the next day. I'm not going for Saturday, you know? So she's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, I told you, man, I was going to do this thing with the boys. And she was like, you did tell me that. I'm like, yeah, you're fucking right, I did. And normally I'm like, I'm one of those yes guys. I'm like, whatever, babe, whatever you want to do, because I'm kind of a pushover when it comes to that shit. I really don't have any. I don't have to meet resistance because, you know, I do what I want anyway. But, like, once in a while, you know, you compromise. It's all part of the whole plan of things. So I turn around, like, listen, you know how it is. I got to tell you. So I'm like, listen, I'll come right back. I said, better yet, why don't you meet me in Jersey? It's on the way. We'll just get on because we have to go through Jersey anyway to go upstate. That's our, you know, little shortcut. We could cut through 17 and make it.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, whatever you gotta do. She's like, no, it's not the same. Gotta pay for the room, it's expensive. I'm like, alright, well, then we'll just go for. There's a big festival up there, whatever. So I used to go to do a little fucking tchotchke shopping. But I was like, listen, whatever.
Yeah, that's all I can picture you doing. You fucking sitting there with your hands in your pockets playing with your prick while your wife is buying fucking scented candles. Fuck that noise.
Dude, so now I'm doing 1 day instead of 2 days. Because I'm going to hang out with fucking Joel Gertner.
Fuck that shit. It's like Funny Farm where the fucking bitch lady's buying fucking freeze-dried squirrels and you're sitting there playing with your prick going, what the fuck am I doing in my life?
Yeah, so she goes, you know you got to buy me stuff, right, just to compensate for you not going. I'm like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, you know what you could buy her? Get a picture of you and Sonny spooning in the fucking bed in Matt's room. Go, here you go, sweetie.
You should bring some of that pizza, man. That fucking pizza's awesome.
Yeah, fucking A it is.
Oh, man, don't even get me started.
Well, listen, man, I gotta pull my train into the station. I think my kid's getting ready to go to bed.
Yeah, put a foot in that kid's ass. Get some sleep there, Charlie Brown.
And hopefully we'll see you on Tuesday, and if not, I hope you will be calling in to ask Miss Sitch a couple of questions. But in the meantime, SWN.ShiningWizards.com. We're on the network, Phil and I, with our boys, the rest of the Shining Wizards, the rest of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks, and the other 5 shows. You could spend time plugging them later. I'll let you go.
I will plug them.
I'm going to go fucking put my kid to bed. And maybe, you know what? I'm not going to throw myself on the wife. Because if I get the flu, I'm going to have to stab her.
You might get saws at this point. They're all sick.
Dude, no joke. She's walking around the house with a mask because she doesn't want my kid to get the flu. Dude, which is fucking, it's very nice of her, but it's fucking hysterical.
I had to get a flu shot because in the hospital now, if you refuse, you got to walk around with a mask.
Yeah.
That's fucking. I said, you know what? Just give me the flu shot. I'll I'll get the Hong Kong flu. Just give me the fucking flu
Hong
shot.
Hong Kong flu-y.
Yeah, Hong Kong flu-y.
Yeah, you got your name for the episode, my friend.
Absolutely. All right, brother. Keep a tight ass. I'll talk to you in a couple days.
Peace.
Peace. All right, that was Shining Wizards, Tony. Always a good time with my boy Tony Z. My kindred spirit. Go fuck yourself, Matt. Again, man. You know, it's that kind of vibe that I get from doing this. You know, this whole podcasting, internet broadcasting thing, it's, for me, it's all about that. It's making new friends who share the same passion for sports entertainment like I do. And I found that with the Wizards, and now with the network. I just want to give a special shout out to the Midnight Jury, Mike, Adam, Sydney, the rest of their crew. You guys are doing a bang-up job. Neckbreaker guys, You guys are awesome. I don't dig a lot of the death metal shit. I love old school metal. I'm a New York hardcore. I guess Mark, I hate using that word, but I'm a New York hardcore guy. I grew up with it, punk and shit like that. And they talk about wrestling. You can't beat those shows. You can't beat 2.5 wrestlers. Again, we spoke about Pat, Jamie, and Kevin, and their insight is spot on. And you know it's real. They've been involved in some shit, and now they're sharing it with us, and it's pretty cool. You know, you have the Fallen Angels, who are now, they're still on the grind, man. They're on the grind. They're out there. They're out in Cortland, New York today, so I hope they had a great show. They're just doing their thing, and they're letting us know how things are in the indie circuit and giving us their spin on things, you know? And, you know, you have that with these shows. You know, you have Justin Credible, who's back after a hiatus of Demons and you know, he's our age. He's my and Tony's age, and he's in great shape, and he still wants to contribute to the business, and that's cool. Good for him. Good for Justin Credible. Good for PJ Polacco. Good for him and his family, and I'm glad he's doing his thing, and I'm glad all the shows on the Wizards are doing well, as well as the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. I've done an hour of this shit so far, and I'm babbling, so I'm actually going to cut off and try to edit this shit down and do some stuff, and... you want to talk to Dave and I, it's on the Facebook page, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, on Facebook, facebook.com/Turnbuckle Throwbacks, on the Twitter, at TBuckleTbacks. You can email the show, TurnbuckleThrowbacks1@gmail.com. We're on the Shining Wizards Network, swn.shiningwizards.com. I'm also on the Rant Network with the shout out Double A and the guys, rantomradio.com. I'm not live, but I'm in their rotation, so thank you guys again so much for that. We're going to have you guys on very, very soon. I'm going to be with Mega Powers and the Shining Wizards and Joel Gertner and Sonny and Mike Mondo and Jim Cornette and a whole bunch of other people at Legends of the Ring this Saturday, October the 5th, in beautiful Monroe, New Jersey. Go to legendsoftheRing.com. Go on the Shining Wizards page, check all that shit out. Come to our table, say hello, sit down. Maybe we'll have the N64 stuff out. Grab a mic, say what's up, and talk to a couple of wrestling aficionados. That's what we are. We're wrestling aficionados. Not toot my own horn, as Double A would say, but toot. We know our shit, and we give it to you guys every week as a labor of love. And we're glad that you guys are all on board. So that's going to do it for me, for my pal Augie, who's sitting here next to me going, why are you in this room? Because you're never in this room. Get used to it, cat, because this is my room now. And that's going to do it for me, all right? Once again, this is the Impact Player, Mr. Phil Reyes, saying take care of yourselves and each other, and avoid the Hong Kong flu. Peace out.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
This is the Black Scorpion, and when I'm not looking for Sting, I'm listening to the Shining Wizards podcast, shiningwizards.com. Be a mark. Buy the shirt. I'm coming for you, Sting.
It's Big Phil here from the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Please check out my boys, Mike and Adam, hosts of the Midnight Jury Podcast, the only podcast that transports you back to the last old school generation as they debate in detail 80s and 90s pro wrestling, horror movies, and pop culture. Before the internet, before Blu-ray, before cell phones, there was the last old school generation. So check out my boys on the Midnight Jury, exclusively on the Shining Wizards Network.
Neckbreaker Podcast! Neckbreaker Podcast is a pro wrestling and heavy metal themed podcast. Guest interviews, wrestling headlines, and metal news while your hosts Brian and John get completely fucking shit-faced. Past guests include Eric Bischoff, Fit for an Autopsy, Power Glove, and many, many more. Join them exclusively on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Network. Neckbreaker Podcast!
Hey guys, Phil Raya here from the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Check out Pro Wrestling 101. It's a show about the ins and outs of pro wrestling, hosted by 20-year veteran of the Squared Circle, Just Incredible. Now, that's not just the best, that's not just the coolest, that's Just Incredible on the Shining Wizards Network. Hey, Big Phil here from the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Check out two professional wrestlers, Pat Buck and Kevin Matthews, and some other guy, Jay Silva, giving insight to the wonderful yet corrupt industry of pro wrestling. Check out Two and a Half Wrestlers, the bad boys of podcasting, exclusively on the Shining Wizards Network.